wilt thou be made whole? The question, of course, is posed here by the Lord to this man that has been waiting here at this pool for 38 years, half of a lifetime. If we look at the lifespan, the average individual, we would say that this man had been laying here half of his life, desiring for someone to help him to get into this pool of water that was troubled, that he might be made whole. Wilt thou be made whole? There are several things that you can draw from this story, from this passage of Scripture. There are things that we can look at tonight that would reach back into the past. We could take a look at the condition of the Jews that we read about here. No doubt this passage of Scripture unveils to us the condition of the Jewish nation and their religion. Here they are sitting at Bethesda here, the house of mercy with five porches, yet they are in the state that they are in. The Bible says in verse number 3 that these folks were impotent, they were blind, they were halt, they were withered, they were waiting for the water to move. And we know that during the time span between Malachi and the book of Matthew, that there had been no prophet, no open vision, no sign from God, but yet here is a place where an angel troubled the water, and in that troubling of the water, someone could get in and be made whole. It gives us a picture, if you will, of the dead religious state of the Jews during this period of time. They had the law, but they were blind. They couldn't follow the law. They were impotent. They were helpless. They could not walk in the principles of God's word. For 4,000 years they had lived under the demands of the Mosaic law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Yet week after week, day after day, they had found themselves falling against or failing to fulfill the law of God and the precepts of the word of God. Year after year they would go to the priest and try to find a place of forgiveness, a place of atonement, because they had fallen short of doing the will of God. And so it gives us a picture. Yet there's mercy here. There are five porches that represent grace, I believe. Yet they are dead. They are hopeless. They are helpless in their religion. I believe personally that it can give us a very vivid picture of the condition of the church in this hour that we live, seated at the house of Bethesda, if you will, the house of mercy, laying around on the five porches of grace with everything available to us, waiting for God to move. That's the condition that the church is in today. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about right now as I preach to you. The churches across America are the place where which God has said, I would install mercy. I would bestow mercy to those that are helpless. And the dispensation of the grace of God is truly manifested in this period of time. Yet it seemed like there's no move of God. I don't know how many preachers you can talk to and say, boy, there's not a lot of conviction anymore. It doesn't seem like God's dealing with anybody anymore. And people are laying around on the porches of the house of mercy, of the porches of grace at the house of mercy. And yet in that, they seem to have no help. They're impotent. They're halt. They're withered. They cannot see. They are blind. Amen. This morning, it's very important that we understand the condition that, you know, history repeats itself. Vance Hadner says, the one thing we never have learned from history is that we never seem to learn anything from history. And the same condition that the Jews had gotten themselves in this place in which we read about in John's Gospel chapter number 5 is the very same place and direction the church, the local assembly, is fighting. finding itself in this period of time that we live in. I do not want to be a part of it. I tell you what, I realize that prophecy is against my desires when it comes to worldwide evangelism and revival and a move of God. I realize there's a falling away. I realize men will be deceived and false prophets will rise on every hand, but in the midst of that, I have a desire to kick with every fiber of my being and claw and scratch and beat, amen, to have a place where the remnant of God can gather together and feel the moving of God's power and walk with the Lord till the trumpet sounds. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. That's a very difficult thing to have in this day and time in which we live with the mindset of people. I made this statement preaching in North Carolina on Wednesday night. I said, there's not a place in America that has the heritage that you have. Nobody in America has had the gospel witness preached like you have right here in these mountains and across these southern plains. I said, nobody in all of America has had the opportunity to have an inflow of the power of God and revival and awakening and the gospel preached. And yet it's nothing for them to lay out on Wednesday night and go play ball with their kids. Amen. Church doesn't mean anything. Go to church for a shout, get happy, or to fellowship, or for a potluck meal, or for a banquet of some sort, but to gather together with God's people for God to meet with them and the power of God to move, the Spirit of God to work in the hearts and lives of people seems to be a thing of the past in this day. Here this man lays. Here this man lays by the pool of Bethesda, the house of mercy. And yet, he lays here most all of his life with no help. Wouldn't that be a sad thing? Wouldn't it be sad for you to lay on the porch of grace here at Pleasant View Baptist Church and die halt, blind, withered, impotent? Is there anybody here today that's impotent spiritually? Is there anyone here today that's blind? Is there anyone here today that's halt, withered, just sitting around waiting for something to happen? Is there anybody here that would have a desire that the need of their spiritual life be met? That's where I'm at, amen. I'm telling you, I don't know, maybe all these people got accustomed to lounging around the pool of Bethesda on the five porches, but I believe Jesus sensed something in this individual, amen, that differed from the rest. And that is, I believe this man genuinely wanted help from God. I'm telling you, he said, wilt thou be made whole? What is your need this morning? Where are you at with God? What's your standing with the Lord? I don't know what your need may be today. You may need to be saved. You may need to give your heart to Jesus and be saved this morning. You may be deceived in religion. You may be laying here at the house of mercy, but you are impotent. You are afflicted, amen, with a disease called sin. You may be here today, and you may have a care, a burden, a problem, and you've walked in those doors week after week carrying the same burden, carrying the same problem, loaded down with the same cares of life. I want to ask you something this morning. As you're here at the house of mercy in the dispensation of the grace of God, wilt thou be made whole? Amen. Amen. Wilt thou be made whole? Will you? I want you to notice the condition of this man, the affliction that he faced. In verse 3, they're all grouped together. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the water to move. This man was a part of a group of people that were afflicted. When all of this can be associated with sin, amen, we could go that route with it tonight, but I just want you to understand that this man is not alone in his condition. And we say that he's the impotent man, but the Bible does tell us that in this affliction that they were blind people here. They had a problem seeing. They were halt. They staggered around. They seemingly could not find good direction in life. They were withered. It was just waste. You ever seen a man with a withered hand? We would say his hand is wasted. It's there, but there's no strength. There's no ability within it. It's just wasted away. Could you be here at Pleasant View that way this morning? Are you afflicted? Amen. Are you in a situation today where you're dying on the inside? Are you here this morning and inwardly and spiritually the world and the devil and sin seems to be sucking the very vitality of your walk with God away from you? You can't see sin like you used to see it. It seems as if the prevalence of society has engulfed your mind and your life and everything's okay anymore. We joke about it. We kid about sin. We toy with it. We flirt with it. And you sit at the house of mercy, and all of a sudden, your hands have withered up. Amen. The condition that afflicted this man, he's impotent. He can't walk. He's laying here. He can't move. I mean, he needs help, but he cannot help himself. Why do we need God to move in this day? I'm going to tell you something, friend. We can have all the money we need. We can have all the facility that we need. We can have all the resources that this world can afford us today. But if we don't have a move of God, we will lay here year after year, year after year, year after year. And many has happened in this state, in this case, they get so accustomed and so comfortable living blind, living halt, living withered. Oh, we're by the pool. There's a nice porch here we can relax on. They are relaxing at the house of mercy, yet afflicted and with no help or no hope. Well, there's one man here that has struggled and tried each time the waters move to get some help. Oh, give me a man, thank the Lord, one individual that'll try their best in the condition that they're in, amen, to get to God when he's moving, when the waters are troubled, amen, to crawl in the presence of God and say, oh God, my family needs you. Lord, the condition of my heart, I need you today. I want you to notice his condition. All these things could be applied in different ways, but I mean, he's laying here. He seemingly has no spiritual reason, no spiritual purpose in life. He cannot see. He's blind. He's halt. These people are withered, wasting away, just sitting around waiting for God to do something. But you notice the crowds around him. In the same condition he's in. Amen. The same condition he's in. Corruption has settled in. Apathy. They don't even care about each other. I'm going to tell you what's dangerous in a church. It's dangerous in a church when people don't even care about each other. Amen. Here's what he said. He said, ain't nobody around here going to help me. They're in the same shape that I'm in. They have the same problem I have. And in the water's trouble, nobody wants to help me. I don't know how long. 38 years is a long time for this man to lay here looking for you. You'd think in 38 years, somebody in 38 years, surely seated at the house of mercy on the porches of grace, surely one individual would say, I can help that man. He's never going to be able to get any healing. And I'll put him before me and I'll just wait till next year. You'd think that somebody would be willing to reach out and to help a brother, help somebody. But nobody even cared about each other. All they were wrapped up in is their own personal world, their own problems, their own issues. And they would not even aid or help each other at the house of mercy. Laying on the porches of grace. Yes, sir. Amen. The whole crowd had gotten that kind of shape. Boy, that'd be easy to do. It's very easy for people to get wrapped up in the fast-paced lifestyle that America seems to promote. Get wrapped up in your own world, in your own wants, in your own desires, and lose sight of the will of God and the church and the body of Christ. Amen. Come to the house of mercy. Experience the grace of God, but yet find yourself lame and halt and withered. God help us today. Wilt thou be made whole? That's the question that's asked. The condition of this man, he's afflicted. It could be pictured as sin. Amen. He's lame. Sin has caused these people. Amen. So they cannot see. They're wasting their life away. They're withered. There are no value. Amen. They can't help themselves. They're laying around because sin has completely disabled them. Sin has dismembered them. Sin has dimmed their eyes. Sin has destroyed them. Just as sin does. The crowd, the surrounding, you don't have to worry about, you don't have to worry about being embarrassed about the condition that you're in, friend, because sitting around the pool is people just like you. The whole crowd is in the same shape. The whole crowd is impotent. The whole crowd is in an afflicted state. And so, here they are. They could represent the Jews, represent the church, represent the sinner. They could even represent the lost individual but the saved individual that has gotten cold and indifferent on God. So many ways you could apply this passage. But I want you to notice the choice that was available to him. And may I say this to you? When Jesus came to him and said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" I want you to understand that Jesus knew every individual at that pool. He knew every need they had. He knew when the angel would trouble the water, and he knew who was going to be able to get in that water when it was troubled. But divine omnipotence never violates the sanctity of man's will. And you need to understand that today. Amen. Divine omnipotence will never violate the sanctity of your will. Yes, God has put a major premium on the will of man. Amen. What are you doing with your life this morning? Take a close inventory as to what you are doing with your life today. Where are you at? Young man, young lady, young teenager, where's your life at? What does tomorrow hold? Where are you headed? What are you going to do? Are you laying by the pool of mercy? Are you laying at the house of God where opportunities are placed in front of you? Yet you seem to say no, no. But every time you come into the gates of grace and sit on the porches, God says, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" Every Wednesday night, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" Every service, every Sunday school hour, every time you go to chapel, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" You know why we never answer that question? And by the way, this man never answered the question. But he left whole. But he never answered the question. The reason why we leave incomplete, unstable, unsure. Have you ever left the house of God that way, Miss Bethany? Left the house of God after hearing a message and you left unstable, unsure, unsettled? How in the world, Brother Jim Cole, could you leave the house of mercy after sitting on the porches of grace, unsure, unsettled, unused? And every time you go, the preacher preaches the word of God. "Wilt thou be made whole?
Wilt thou? I mean, he may say it in a different way, but he's saying every time you go to the house of God, he's saying, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? The question is posed. No matter what passage is used, no matter how the message is presented, no matter how, amen, the word of God is directed, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I'll give you rest. He said, he that thirsteth, come to the water. Amen. Are you hungry? Come to the bread. It's an invitation, but there's a question that involves the volition of man. It involves a choice. It involves your will. It involves what you will do with it.
How do you answer that question each Sunday? How do you answer that question every time you come here? You leave unsettled, unsure, unstable. You listen? The choice was given him. It was a proposed choice. I mean, Jesus placed the opportunity in his lap of decision, if you will. It was personal. He didn't go up there and say, hey, who wants to be made whole? Hey, blind man, you over there that's crippled. Yeah, you over there with a lame guy. Yeah, you too. I'm talking about you. Yeah, you and you. Yeah, you over there. Any of y'all want to be made whole? That isn't the way it works. He said, wilt thou be made whole? It gets very personal. This choice I make about my relationship with the Lord, this choice I make about living in the condition that I'm in, exposed to mercy, yes, revolving around the grace of God, yes, but what will I do with that is placed at my disposal as a child of God? Wilt thou be made whole? Very personal thing. I've preached messages before, and I could see on the face of the congregation who you thought that was good for. I've preached and I've seen people, you know, relax in their position saying, well, he's not going to say anything about where I'm at and what I'm doing today. Wilt thou be made whole? It's a very personal issue. It deals with you. It is very, very personal. It's about the condition that you're in. What about how are you seeing things right now? Do you see things in a spiritual light? I preached to Brother Morgan's congregation on Wednesday night on spiritual maturity, and I talked to them about how responsible they are to their faith and responding properly to the Word of God, and how important it is to realize that we are accountable to truth and the things we hear and the things that's been preached and taught to us. We are accountable to those things. What are we doing with them? Have we got ourselves in such a low state spiritually that we cannot see, that we cannot seem to grasp and lay hold of truth and walk in it? What do you do with truth? Do you take the milk and the meat of the Word of God and walk out that door and live by it, or do you struggle with it? Do you have to go home and pray about it? When the man of God, when I was right with the Lord, and when I got right with God, I got right with God. I wanted to serve the Lord. I didn't want anything in my life that was going to keep me from living for Jesus. Nothing whatsoever. I remember the night that God dealt with my heart about getting rid of my television out of the house. Amen. He never dealt with me at all about what wickedness was on TV, and I needed to get rid of it for that reason. My daughter was just a little bitty girl at the time. She never, you know, it never was. The fact of the matter is, fellas preaching, I was in Tampa, Florida at the Tabernacle Baptist Church. Man was preaching that night that God dealt with me. I was sitting over there about where Josh is at, and when God dealt with me about it, I'm sure that man probably had a television that was preaching in the pulpit. When God dealt with me about getting rid of mine. He didn't say, you need to go home and you need to get rid of that television because it's full of wickedness and ungodliness, adultery, fornication. It's going to promote drinking to your children. It's going to teach them how to fornicate and live in wicked sin and be sensual and ungodly. It's going to tell them how to cuss. It's going to tell them how to disrespect the mom and dad. It's going to teach them how to kill people. It's going to teach them how to steal and rob. It's going to sit there and promote ungodliness and rebellion. Never one time did the Lord say that to me. He said, when you get back to Appalachia, get rid of the television. It's going to keep you from being what I need you to be. That's all it was about. And I tried to wrestle with it a little bit, take it out of the living room, put it in the bedroom. That didn't work. He just said, it's going to keep you from being what I want you to be. It was just that simple. It could have been anything. It didn't have to be a television that is got a lot of wickedness on it. It could have been a basketball, a golf club, a gun, or whatever. It could have been anything that would have gotten in the way of me serving the Lord. But I come to a place where it didn't make any difference what it was. If the man of God preached it, I wanted to search the scripture, see if these things be so, and I didn't want anything, Brother Keith, standing in the way of me being what I wanted to be for the glory of God. Wilt thou be made whole? You'd be amazed at the people that's in this building right now that's lame, halt, withered. And the reason why they're in that condition is because they came to the pool and the waters got troubled. And they didn't get in because they really didn't think it was really that necessary for them to deal with that. It's really not that important. But what you need to do, you're blind, aren't you? Can't see. I've got up here and preached about letting some of your children have liberty with cell phones and texting and internet services. And some of you don't see it. But can anybody see some of these kids that's left here and got out in sin and hooked on pornography? Can anybody see that? Can anybody see that? And you know what 99% of it is? 99% of it started on a text and on a phone conversation. And I can prove that to you if you wanted me to get personal with those individuals' lives. I can talk. I call a pastor in South Carolina and say, so-and-so, yeah, they found a picture on his phone. He's not here today. But see, what we do is we lay by the pool. We lay by the pool. The longer we lay there, the more impotent we get, the more blind, the more halt, the more withered we seem to be. And I don't know, only this one man desired to get some help from God. The rest of them's laid out there, not just leave us alone. We're enjoying the sunshine. We got good shelter under the porch of grace. And we're just going to lay by the pool of mercy and die here in the condition that we're in. But Jesus said to that individual personally, he said, wilt thou be made whole? And here's what he answered him. I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Here's what he said. Here's what he confessed. Here's what he confessed. Wilt thou be made whole? He said, I don't have no man. I don't have no means. I don't have no mercy. All he did was the same thing as that old sinner did before the Lord when he come in here. He just fell before the Lord. He didn't say, God, save me. He didn't say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. He just fell down and said, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm telling you, that man just said, Lord, here's where I'm at. Here's what I don't have. I'm just telling you, I have no mercy. I have nobody to help me. I have no means. I want it. You know I want it. But I cannot attain it, and I need the help of God. The reason why you're in the condition you're in this morning, and I'm in the condition I'm in this morning,
and the church collectively is in the condition it's in, the reason it's there is because nobody wants to be honest enough to admit where they're at, why they're there, and the hopeless and helpless state that they're in. I'm going to tell you what, we could be made whole if we could, Brother Dunn, just with an honest heart and mind, admit to where we're at. Our children and our families could probably see an unmeasurable amount of spiritual growth and revival if we could just be honest enough to quit excusing why they are doing what they're doing and just realize that they are in a mess and they need help from God. And there's not a thing you and I can do about it. It's going to take Jesus Christ changing their life. We can blame it on this and blame it on that, but the bottom line is they're laying at the house of mercy on the porches of grace, and God is going to have to do a work in their heart, but that's not going to happen until they realize it revolves around a personal choice. I made a personal choice. I was a married man. I had a child. I had my own car. I didn't need my mother's money or my daddy's money. I had a job. Nobody, I could do whatever I wanted to do. In fact, that's exactly what I was doing. I was playing golf 3 or 4 times a week, living my own life, running the way I wanted to run, dressing the way I wanted to dress, living to the flesh. And I'm telling you, Brother Josh, I was sitting on a pew at a Baptist church one night, and God moved on my soul. As far as I know, there wasn't anybody else in that building that night, son, that God dealt with, not a soul. My wife was sitting beside of me. As far as I know, God didn't deal with her about anything. But when I left out of that building that night, I couldn't even talk. I was so broken over what I was. And I didn't go to the altar, Miss Bethany, and I didn't pray a prayer. All I did was get up of the pew about where you're sitting, Brother Danny, and walk out that building with a committed heart and a desire to do whatever God wanted me to do with my life. And it didn't make any difference what the devil or the world had to offer at that point. I wanted to serve God. I did not want to throw my life away, withered. I'd been in a Baptist church all my life, heard the preaching young lady of the Word of God all my life, and I didn't want to be withered, halt, blind, and laying there wasting away with all that mercy and grace surrounding me and me laying there all of my life. And that night, that afternoon, a voice from heaven said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" He didn't, wasn't an audible voice, and it wasn't those exact words. The principle is what I'm preaching about tonight. Wilt thou be made whole? The help that you need, young man, young lady, is going to revolve around your admitting. You can never confess to anything until you admit to it. Is that not right? Will you sign this confession? Huh? You go to a court of law? Did you rob the bank? No, sir, I didn't rob the bank. Did you? They put you under a light, you know, flicked you for hours, and I'll try to get you to confess. We're trying to get him to confess. That's what they're trying to do. He could be as guilty. He can be as guilty as the dog with the egg yolk dripping off his lips. Are you listening to me? But I'm telling you, he's put under the pressure to admit his guilt. No, I didn't do it. No, I didn't do it. No, I didn't do it. Because he does not want to face the consequences of his wrong. But this morning, if we could just realize that we are seated at the house of mercy and the porches of grace, and if we could just be honest with ourselves and God and say, "Oh, and nobody can help me. I cannot help myself, and I have no mercy, and all I know is I'm in a mess," it's then that the mercy of God can reach into your world and change your life. Wilt thou be made whole? You want to be made different? You want it changed? Or do you want to lay there all your life? Some of those people probably died there, blind, halt, withered, just waiting, no consciousness of their condition. I pray to God right now before this congregation that I would never be blind to my condition, the condition of the church, the condition of the world. Are you listening? It's almost like these faith healers. You know, these fellows that claim to be able to heal people, you know. Of course, you always got to go to their meeting to get healed. You listening? It's almost like going into the hospital and just telling everybody, all right, everybody here, y'all don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God, so just get up and leave. And they get up and leave, but they're still sick. They're still afflicted. And I want to tell you what, you can try to purpose in your mind to mentally overcome it in a psychological realm, but it's not going to be overcome mentally. Amen. It can only be overcome by the power of God. Amen. This morning I want to ask you a question. Wilt thou be made whole? The word whole means complete, sound. Do you want to function in this world and in this life whole, sound? I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in this life impaired physically. I don't want to live in this life impaired spiritually. Seated at the house of mercy this morning. Available anything you want. I'm going to tell you something. Churches across America are dying everywhere you turn. Preachers and pastors are so frustrated, Brother Grubbs. I'm talking about good, godly men that have purpose and resolve and a thirst and a desire to do something for Jesus. They're preaching their heart out to a people that's laying around the pool, but are content in the afflicted state that they are in and totally intend to die there. I could give you a list of five good men that would be more than capable of pastoring this church. Five, probably more than that. But I could just off the top of my head give you a list of five good men that are great men, praying men, Bible preaching men that love the Lord, that have said to me on occasion, if something ever happens here, I'm heading your way. One man told Brother Josh, he said, I could resign my church and go up there and set up a ministry or do something and be happy and content the rest of my life. What they're saying is we're tired of beating our head against a stone wall of people who do not want to live for God. And the very same mindset that those churches have been engulfed with is a product, I realize today, of the prophecy that we are to face in the end times. But God's going to have a remnant. Amen. And I intend to be in it, a part of it, no matter where I have to drive or what I have to sail to get there. Amen. What are you going to do? There's people here from different churches. And I wouldn't let you come here and run down another church or run down another pastor and say, well, things are different there than they are here. I think that's probably the case, but I'm not going. If Brother Bill left the church, when he left the church, come down here, I didn't let Brother Bill, and Brother Bill came here from a good church, good man of God. He came here, stayed with us. He never one time, I never would let him say one thing derogatory about that man of God. If it's God's will for you to be here, you come here, burn your bridges behind you and serve the Lord here. But the bottom line is, amen, Brother Jim came here from a church. Brother Grubbs came here from the same church. I'm sure there's a lot of things we do different here. Things are different here. But I'm not going to listen to you run down the church, run down that man of God. What scares me, Brother Jim, is when people leave a church that's dead or got sin in it or got leadership problems or whatever, and come to a place that they want to, they like what they see, like what they feel, like what they hear, but yet set in the same spiritual condition here as you did there. And don't have enough sight and insight and understanding to realize that there is something that caused that church to get in the condition that it was in. And it's people, Miss Sarah, that get cold and indifferent on God and just don't care and want to try to go run to some other place. And I thank God you're here, and I'm not saying you're out of the will of God by being here. We got some coming, amen. Some here that's just come and some on their way, amen. I'm glad you're here. But I want you to understand today that we don't have no hocus pocus, mojo, doula, whatever kind of magic word to say to make you spiritual. You will make choices with truth, and you will either lay by the pool and die there impotent, afflicted and blind and whole, or you'll stand up and say, I want to be whole. I want to be whole. I know who I am and what I am. I don't want to die in the mess I'm in.
What are you going to do? Wilt thou be made whole? Amen. Brother Wells came here from a church split, run the pastor off, big mess. We didn't sit around and listen to a bunch of stuff. And he wasn't a part of it, didn't want no part of it. But he could have come here. We had a good church, good little group of people, folks living godly, living clean, wanting to serve the Lord. He could come here and sit here and said, I'm just going to ride a while. I'm going to tell you something. It takes a constant growth of nucleus of godliness and purity and holiness to keep the standard. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something now. I can have the biggest yard sale Breckenridge County's ever seen tomorrow. Amen. And I can live. I've lived in a flea infested trailer before and lived all right. I just buy alcohol or whatever to put on the bites. You listening? I'm looking for a people that want to serve the Lord. Amen. Live for God. I'm looking for a people that'll come to the house of mercy, and when the question is asked, wilt thou be made whole? I'm looking for a people that'll stand up and get whole. Lord, I need help. What is your need this morning? What kind of need is represented in your life today, right now? You can be made whole this morning. It could be one of a thousand things that God has dealt with your heart about. I'm going to tell you what will happen to you. Oh, there's various situations at this pool. Some of them's blind. Some of them's just limping around. Some of them just have a withered hand. There's some of them that's just laying here. They can't move at all. The problem with this story is this. Jesus only asked one of them if he would be made whole. Because Jesus in his sovereign omnipotence knew that the others were content the way they were. What kind of shape you in this morning? The house of mercy. The porches of grace. What a place to die. Afflicted. Blind. Halt. Withered. I don't want to die there. I trust you don't either. We stand to our feet, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I ask the question this morning, wilt thou be made whole? One of the scariest things I face as a pastor is people that just cannot see the shape that they are getting in and refuse to address their condition.